Hello and welcome to Good Morning Suffolk, the weekly podcast from Suffolk News, where we share the good news stories coming out of the county. I'm Sam Harrison, and I can't believe we're already on our third episode of Good Morning Suffolk. It seems to be going so quick. I think this whole year seems to be going so quick. We're already in October. I mean, what's going on? But, you know, I just want to say thanks so much for listening. I'm having really good fun, like, writing and producing this podcast. And, you know, hearing your guys, like, get in touch is, it really makes it, you know, makes it worth it. And last week we asked the question about what was your favourite building in Suffolk? And John Millichamp answered, and he said, the Chantry Library in Ipswich. He said, it's not the most beautiful of locations, but the beauty it offers people is stunning, and all libraries should be like that. And I couldn't agree more, Joel. Like, you really can't beat, you know, a good library. An anonymous listener got in touch over email to say their favourite building was the Lavenham Guildhall, which is almost 500 years old, apparently. It's, you know, a building like that really makes you think, you know, about the history and, you know, how many things have happened over the years. You know, if walls could talk, I'm sure it would have lots of stories to tell. My favourite building in Suffolk is a bit more, like, sentimental, I suppose. It's the, and it sounds a bit rubbish, but it's the old Cafe Nero on Abbeygate Street in Bury. Like, hear me out. Like, I know it's just a Nero and it's not the most amazing building, but I just think it's really cozy in there. And Erin and I had our first date in there and I just love it. But anyway, on this week's episode, we're going to hear from reporter Cameron Reed about an award-winning barbershop. And we also have a brand new segment that we're really excited to launch with Tamika Green. And later on in the episode, we'll head down to the archives for a bit of nostalgia, and I'll be running through some upcoming Suffolk events, which I think you should all know about. But first, I just want to talk about, you know, how are you listening to this podcast right now? Are you on the Suffolk News website? Are you on Apple Podcasts or Spotify? Because if you're on a different, you know, one of those streaming platforms, you can actually click to follow on Spotify, and or there's like a little bell which notifies you when a new episode is out. And we also have all of our daily podcasts on these different streaming platforms as well. So if you want to stay up to date with all the news coming out of Suffolk, not just Good Morning Suffolk, but our other podcasts too, make sure to click, you know, the likes, the bells, the notifications. I think on the Apple Podcast, there's a little plus symbol in the top right corner. So yeah, make sure you're clicking these and to stay up to date on the news that's happening in your area. But so up first, we're going to jump to a recording of a conversation I had with fellow reporter Cameron Reed about an award-winning barbershop from Thurston. Over to you, Cameron.
Thanks, Sam. So basically, a barbershop in Thurston won the award for Best Barbers at the Suffolk Retail Business Awards 2022. Joe and Dean Desmond Morrells, the co-owners of Dapper Dean's, started their own barbershop in the village in 2019 and are pleasantly surprised to have not only been nominated for the award, but also to win it.
Wow, that's great. That's so good. And you know, did they say how it felt to be nominated and to win?
Well, Joe said, "We're totally overwhelmed. We weren't expecting it, and it's come as a surprise. When we got the letter to say one of the customers nominated us, we were thrilled to bits. But to actually win it is pretty unbelievable."
Oh, that's so good. And you know, like, lots of businesses, I think, struggled during, you know, lockdown and the pandemic and everything. Did the barbershop always also kind of struggle during that time?
Yes. So they had a very successful opening year, which was the year before COVID started. And then
right.
When COVID started, obviously, they had to shut and it disrupted their progress a little bit. But also, coming back from COVID-19 afterwards, having to fix everyone's hair, I think, was a little bit of a nightmare.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember during the pandemic, like, you know, that was a real struggle, especially, like, for my dad. We had to, you know, sit him down in the kitchen, get the clippers out. And he doesn't have that much hair anyway, so it was all right. But he had a real, like, buzz cut, but, you know, he soon grew it out, so it was okay in the end. But, yeah, no, that was good times. But good to know the barbershops are back, you know, running. I feel like we can all appreciate a good barbershop even more now, you know. So, Cameron, how can people vote for this barbershop?
Well, to vote, you can either visit www.nominees.info/vote or text Dapper Deans, Thurston to 075-206-34133.
Thanks so much for that, Cameron. It's always a pleasure to chat and hear about the stories you're working on. Okay, I think it's time to head down to the archives to see what, you know, some old goodies we can find down there. So come on, let's go. God, that door sounded creaky today, didn't it? All right, come on. All right, we're down. So let's just have a little look around and see what we can find. Yeah, okay, it's a bit high up, but let me just reach up and grab it. Oh, okay, I got it. So this story comes from 1989, and wow, what's that, like 34 years ago? Oh my god. And Sweet Manufacturer presents £1,200 to hospital scanner appeal. Okay, so let's see. So it says the company was called Van Mel, and were based in Bury St Edmunds, and they used to produce Frutella sweets. I love Frutellas, I think they're so good. The staff managed to raise £600 for West Suffolk Hospital's scanner appeal, which I guess is like for like CT scans and like MRI machines, right? So then the company's higher ups matched the £600 raised by staff to get them a total of, you know, £1,200, which is great. Jonathan Strathmore, who was the spokesman for Van Mel, said, to quote, "The building has been buzzing with draws, raffles, and numerous other ideas to collect money for this worthy cause." And that's just so nice. And there's a picture showing Dr. Roy Bannon from the hospital receiving the check from the factory manager, Ian Hearsom, and personnel manager's assistant, Jeanette Chewin. You know, I'm going to have to check, but I'm pretty sure Erin's nana used to work for this factory for a little bit. And I just wondered, does anyone else remember, you know, have any memories from Van Mel and when they were making Frutellas and Berry? Maybe you remember, you know, when the money was raised or what they were doing to actually, what ideas they were coming up with to raise the money? Or maybe you're a bit more knowledgeable about the hospital and you can tell me where the money went. If you have any information about what happened, just get in touch by sending me an email to gmspodcast@iliffpublishing.co.uk. Right, let's head back upstairs, shall we? All right, here we go. Oh, mind your head, mind on the beam. Yep, you're good. You got to kind of like duck on those stairs a little bit just because, yeah, poorly designed, but hey-ho. So up next, we're going to try something a little bit different in this episode. And I just want to, before we get into it, I just want to ask you, like, when you buy a newspaper or read an article online or however you consume your news, how often do you actually look at the author's name? Because I know I don't, and I think it's easy to forget sometimes when you read the news that someone's actually written this, you know? Someone's taken the time to choose what words to use, and they probably had a hand in, like, publishing it themselves and quite literally went through the whole process of getting that news to you in a way you can understand. And, you know, I think with this in mind, we wanted to peel back the curtain a little bit and fill you in on some of our reporters' backgrounds and, you know, with how they got started in journalism, their favourite stories to write, and also their future ambitions. And we're calling these special, like, interviews Behind the Headlines. And our first instalment is with Community Connect host Tamika Green. I really hope you enjoy this interview. Question, but who are you? You know, who is the person writing the stories in the paper?
Well, I'm 24 and lived in Bury all my life. Went to school in Bury, went to St Benedict's, and you know, I have a keen passion for diverse communities. As someone who is of mixed African-American and British heritage, it is something that I try to write about, and I try to seek diverse stories in the community to ensure that there is representation out there. You know, there's been times where it has been difficult for me and I haven't accepted my heritage and sort of ran away from it. And so I know the importance of representation, and that's really, you know, where my passion lies, you know. And any diverse community, really, you know, whether it's, you know, people with disabilities, because, you know, sometimes those stories aren't in the paper, or if it's, you know, other diverse communities, you know, Ukrainian community, that sort of thing.
And when you say you were, you know, you ran away from your heritage, what do you mean by that, and your history?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, growing up in Bury St Edmunds, it's not a diverse place. And, you know, I would be one of few people of colour in my class.
Yeah.
You know, wanted to straighten my hair. Didn't want to be brown. You know, I didn't want to be someone of colour. I just, you know, didn't want that to be. And yeah, it was difficult until I studied history A levels, and we did the civil rights movement. And I learnt about, you know, the people who fought for my rights, the people who died. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realised, you know, how can I hate myself when, you know, people did die for, you know, for me to be in the position that I'm in today. And that's when I started to accept myself and, you know, did a Black Lives Matter protest in 2020 and, you know, spoke about my experiences in front of hundreds of people. And wanted to bring that into my job and ensure that, yeah, other people get that representation that, you know, maybe I didn't have.
Absolutely. So was that the moment when you thought maybe, you know, taking on the role of a reporter?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And, I mean, when I first started, I was a community reporter, and my patch was young people. And, you know, that was difficult at times, you know, because my role was to, you know, get young people interested in the news, you know, an audience that, you know, the paper hasn't traditionally targeted. And that was the Ipswich Star. So I, you know, that was my patch, and I did that. But alongside that, I would also try to seek out stories about people of colour, and, you know, Ipswich is a diverse place, so that was quite easy to do, and I would just ensure that there people could see people just like them and explore some of those stories. You know, for instance, one of the stories I did was, you know, a black serviceman, and I did that for Remembrance Day because, you know, sometimes that is a day where those stories aren't told and you don't see, you know, those types of people on the TV around that time. So I want to just make a bit of an effort and ensure that there are diverse stories on that particular day, a day when, you know, black and brown people are forgotten about. So it's just little things like that that I do, you know, really aim to do and try to do.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it, you know, what's next? What's for the future? What are you, you know, looking forward to doing next?
I think I'm really enjoying practicing writing features and exploring topics and going further into those. You know, there's so many things out there that we can get a bit deeper into, and we can speak to people who've got all kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did a feature about young farriers, and I want to carry that series on, speaking to young people who are carrying on older trades, because you know, you wouldn't expect a young person to do those sorts of things. You know, a young roof thatcher or, you know, farriers, that's their sort of, you have, preconceived notions about who would do those jobs. Mm. So, you know, speaking to young people, the fresh faces who are stepping into these industries, it's fantastic. I do hope to do more video, something that, you know, we're not doing at the moment. And I want to do video-led stories. So the stories will mainly be video. And hopefully that will engage new audiences and tell a story in a visual way. You know, we've got... There's so many interesting things going on in Suffolk. You know, let's tell stories in a visual and engaging way.
And there we go. Wow, thank you so much, Tamika, again, for being the first, you know, first guest on Behind the Headlines. It was really great to chat with you and great to hear more about your background. Let us know which reporter you would like to see appear on the next one, which will probably take place in a few weeks' time, because I think next week we're just going to have our regular Community Connect segment. But if you want to, you know, get in touch and let us know what you think of it, email gmspodcast@iliftpublishing.co.uk. So let's move on from there and let's see what events are coming up in your area. So up first, there's a record fair happening at the John Peel Centre in Stowmarket on Saturday 15th, which is this coming Saturday. It's a real treat for any vinyl lovers listening, or even, you know, for those who want to get their record collection started and maybe, you know, find some LPs, 7-inches, rare 45s, and other, like, you know, quite rare collectible items. You know, head down to the John Peel Centre on Saturday. There's also going to be some live DJ sets, and Radio Caroline's Stephen Foster, also known as Foz, will be playing an hour's worth of records at the event. So it's running from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's free entry, and I think it just sounds like a great time. And for more information, you can search for the John Peel Centre for Creative Arts on Facebook. Also, the Theatre Royal in Bury St Edmunds are preparing to launch a new theatrical performance called Where's Santa? I know it's a bit early to mention Christmas as it's only October, but the festive season really is just around the corner. And, you know, this year the theatre have teamed up with the Ark Shopping Centre and the Bury St Edmunds Town Council to put on, like, this really cool magical cabin in Charter Square in the Ark. So it's going to be like this Nordic log style cabin will be, you know, the stage for these exciting 20-minute performances for children to get involved with. I think it's aimed for children age 2 to 7, and each show is going to accommodate like 12 children, I think. So tickets are on sale from today, and are being sold for £8 each. So more information can be found on the theatre's website, which is www.theatreroyal.org. Or if you just really want to get your tickets as soon as possible, because I'm pretty sure it's going to sell out, you can call up 01284 769 505. And finally, if you, you know, want to put the brakes on Christmas and you can't really get excited for Christmas until after Halloween, why not go pumpkin picking in the meantime? You know, it seems like pumpkin picking is this new phenomena that's taken over loads of places in Suffolk. And I've been a couple of times. It's actually really fun. You know, it's a good excuse to kind of get the kids out and, you know, create some fantastic, like, kind of autumn memories, you know. So here's our list of 7 patches you can visit this October. There's Ruffham Estate Pumpkins, Ruffin's Farm, Seam Hall Spooky Pumpkins, Southwold Maze, Mrs. G's Pumpkin Patch, Frog's Farm, and Windolph's Farm Pumpkin Fest. I know that seems like a lot of information, but if you go to our Suffolk News website and search for pumpkins, I'm sure our list where all the information will pop up, and you can, start planning some visitations. You could even go to some, you know, multiple times if you wanted to. Just make sure to bring, you know, coats and wellies, as they can get, you know, a bit wet and muddy. And yeah, that's about it for the events this week. Did we miss anything? You know, if we have, just let us know. Pop us a message on our Good Morning Suffolk Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And hopefully we can mention your event next time. So sadly, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you so much for listening this far. And, you know, we really appreciate you sticking around. This week's question we want to ask is kind of related to the frutellas we mentioned earlier. And the question is, what's the best or worst movie snack? As I said, you know, in the earlier in the episode, we mentioned the Van Mel factory that used to make frutellas. And that got me thinking about sweets and snacks and, you know, what's the best, like, kind of sweet treat to watch a film with? This doesn't have to be in the cinema, but, you know, I strongly believe that frutellas are probably, like, the worst for this, for watching a film, right? Like, because the wrappers are so distracting and you end up, like, taking your eyes off the film and they're just a bit, like, sickly after a while. You can't eat too many of them. And then if you're in the cinema, like, what do you do with the wrappers as well? Like, you know, I can't just put them on the floor. I can't just throw them in the aisle in front of me. What am I supposed to do with all these wrappers I've somehow got from just trying to eat a bag of sweets? I know I sound like I'm overreacting. And maybe I am. I don't know. But we want to hear from you. What movie snack are you taking into the cinema? And or maybe you were at home watching Netflix or something. And what's a food that you just love to eat whilst watching a film? We really want to hear from you. And you know, another one of my pet peeves. I don't know why I sound like I'm really overreacting, but another one of, you know, this annoys me is like the whole pick a mix situation. And I sound like really angry, so I should probably stop. But I don't know, maybe next week I'll have to tell you about my issues with pick a mix in the cinema. But let us know, you know, what's the best or worst movie snack. Send an email to gmspodcast@ilivepublishing.co.uk, or, you know, get in touch on our social media. And that's about it for this week's episode. I just want to say thanks so much for listening. And yeah, please get in touch and let us know what you think. gmspodcast@ilivepublishing.co.uk. And just so you know, ILIFF is spelled ILIFFE, ilivepublishing.co.uk. Thanks again, Cameron Reed, for his guest report, and Tamika Green, you know, for that amazing Behind the Headlines segment. This podcast is produced by ILIFF Media and Suffolk News, and I've been your host, Sam Harrison. Thanks so much for listening again, and we'll see you next week. Bye!